Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, October 30th, day before Halloween. How is everybody doing out there today? We had a very, very interesting sports weekend in front of us that we just had with a lot of good college football and the NFL. The NBA is still going into swinging. We have the very first college football playoffs that are going to be revealed tonight, actually, during our show. So we'll be kind of going over those. Myself will be on here live tonight with Jonathan Birdsong. Once Jonathan joins us here, we'll dive right into everything shortly. Actually, we got him on the line right now, I believe. John, my man, how are you?
Brandon Reed, so good to be back. Feel so good.
Welcome back. Yeah. Happy Halloween Eve.
All right, absolutely.
Did you see the movie?
Not yet. I'm letting the suspense build up. I got to look. And plus, I like when the theaters clear out. I hate when people talk.
Oh, I went and saw it on Friday night. We saw a 9:40 movie, and there was only maybe six couples there. That was it.
Okay. So you got to see it. What do you think? You can't spoil it for me. What you think?
I will not spoil it. Well, I mean, you already know that. I give it a 7.
All right. Out of 10?
Out of a 10. I feel like the ending, I feel like I've seen it before, and like it's not been closure.
You got another Halloween cover.
But I will tell you this. They definitely at the end left it open for multiple other ones to continue.
Okay.
So we will see. If you think back of the Halloween 4 and Halloween 5 with the little niece, Jamie.
Yeah.
That is how it's kind of playing out, it looks like. As my thought.
You know.
I give it a 7. The girlfriend, she was thought it was very gory. It was probably the goriest one I've ever seen out of all of them.
Yeah,
and that's counting Rob Zombies, too.
God, spoiler alert, it killed a minor.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Mike is not somebody to mess with, apparently. So, I thought at first we were going to get interrupted tonight by a bunch of trick-or-treaters because over here where I live at, here in Indianapolis, they've sort of moved trick-or-treating for part of the town. So, I thought I was going to have to give out some candy during the radio show, but I think in our neighborhood area, everybody's waiting until tomorrow. So thank God. but let's dive into it. The NFL this past weekend, Colts and Raiders. John, what'd you think? Colts got the W. It started out okay, and then it got ugly, and then it ended in typical Colts fashion.
Colts got the W. It's clear that the Raiders organization still have Carr in their future plans. He looked okay for the most part. It didn't look like he was going to cry after the game or anything like that. But Colts, you know, first half, man, they got run. It's like you could run on the Colts a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a somewhat a concern. Even though it might be an anomaly, it's still like this defense is, we like it, but we don't love it. We want to embrace it because, you know, we hear there's names that's popping up week to week that come, you know, player of the week, player, you know what I mean, actually NFL player of the week, defensive player of the week. But still, you know, the metrics just don't necessarily add up to that because we're not necessarily seeing dominating defense like we kind of want to see here.
Right.
With all that being said, Colts just pulled out a victory, and Andrew Luck looked sharp.
He did.
Like we have, it looks like we have one of the best tight end receiving cores in recent NFL history.
Yeah, I believe this was I saw a little stat nugget that this was the first time that in NFL history that a quarterback has thrown to three different tight ends for a touchdown in a single game.
Wow.
So that's I guess that's a good side of history to be on if you're a Colts fan.
There's also other positives you can take from, you know, from Colts victory. Anthony Cassanzo seems to be, you know, working at 98%, and you know he just adds to the offensive line, and that's why I think they got big rushes from the running backs this past weekend. This offensive line, and they, guess what, Brandon? They kept Andrew Luck they kept him clean, right? He didn't take a sack, I don't believe, this whole game, past whole weekend. So, and he's actually not taking any big brutal hits, I don't believe. I could double. You might have to double check me on that one, but he hasn't taken any big brutal hits all season. So, the offense is, I mean, it's still good. You know, we did what we supposed to do. We beat a team that's, you know, in transition. And now you got your division games. And if you win, you know, I believe I said this 2 or 3 weeks ago. If you win your division, you'll get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, flat out.
We all know this division is winnable, even with Texas looking like the lead dog talent-wise. But, you know, I mean, and I don't mean to spell this as for, you know, for future. But we know their quarterback situation, though it is dazzling, it is brittle. It's brittle. So, you know, this is a winnable position, and the Colts are looking like they are ready to compete.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew Luck was 22-31, efficient, 239 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So you love seeing that. Marlon Mack, 132 yards rushing again, another over 125 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. I played him in fantasy this week, thank God, because he tore it up for us. Time of possession, the Colts had the ball for 12 and a half minutes of the 15 in the first quarter. The Raiders couldn't do anything with the football. No turnovers for the Colts. 71 offensive plays compared to Oakland's 47. When you can keep somebody less than 50 offensive plays, that's going to be spells a pretty good sign for you. Colts did look good, so props to them. Yep. Now they're going to go into a bye week, kind of get healthy.
Yep.
Shout out.
The challenge in this, I know the Colts wish they could probably play that Cincinnati game over, and they'd be, you know, they definitely want to play a Cincinnati game, and maybe even that Jets game over. But the challenge going further is, like, now, the Colts have progressed as a team. Now other teams have also settled into their identity as well. So it's going to be even more evenly matched. There's no more cupcakes on the schedule. Even though AFC is winnable, I'm telling you, even though AFC is a very winnable, you know, conference or division, right?
Yeah.
There's no cupcakes. Because what the Colts might be good at, you know, Tennessee or Jacksonville has better defense. You know what I mean? So they'll be trying to scrap and win too. So.
Absolutely. Shout out to.
Got time to get their dysfunction together.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I think it's a wrap for them this year. They got a lot of issues on offense and defensive end that they starting to rear its ugly head. Coaching, even, I think. I don't think the coach is safe now, especially if you're losing the locker room.
Was that an embarrassment in London? That was an embarrassment?
It should be. I mean,
they should have, but they didn't play it as such. That's
I agree with you there. Shout out to Adam Vinatieri setting the all-time points record officially this weekend. The guy's been doing it. Had Ageless Wonder himself. So congrats to him.
Wonder, yeah, he actually got a video shout out from Morten Andersen.
I saw that.
Does Morten Andersen have a fake hand? I was asking. I'm asking.
I don't think so. He was golfing.
Dude, that hand looked atomic. Man, I don't know, man. It looked like it was wooden, like something George Washington would have.
Well, why would he wear that jacket out golfing, too? I don't understand that. It was a very weird video.
It was, wasn't it? It was. I guess it's because of Halloween, too.
I guess there was a couple. He had maybe had a couple cocktails in him, a little deep. Who knows? Big John. He still got it. You talk about the Houston Texans. They won 42-23 over the Dolphins. My games I picked. I sent out on Twitter, go ahead, take the Texans minus the 7.5 and take the over. Both of them hit. If you bet like I did, you'd be $87 richer right now, like I am from that game. So you got to listen to me. Speaking of the Texans, John, they just traded up and got Demaryius Thomas today, added another weapon since they lost Will Fuller for a torn ACL. So Texans are trying to fill in pieces.
Yeah, Texas trying to fill in pieces for their lack of coaching. Texans, again, they look to be the cream of the crop, and it's like somebody the Colts are going to have to bring their A game, which you know what I'm saying. We haven't necessarily seen the Colts A game. We have not against the full. I mean, come on, man. They beat Buffalo. And I can't believe Buffalo scored 6 on New England. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
Before I go on a tirade of like, you know, a whole lot of teams will be looking for quarterbacks next year.
Okay. Interesting. The Baltimore Ravens once again get beat by the Carolina Panthers, 36-21. Panthers are just quietly sitting at 5-2, playing for it pretty well. Cam staying out of the headlines. Baltimore, just Jekyll and Hyde for their season right now. They play really well 1 week. Next week they play terrible. They beat a good Pittsburgh team in Pittsburgh. And then they go lay an egg against Cleveland. So with them losing this week, next week they have a home game next Sunday against the Steelers. So that's going to be another tough game in the division right there for them.
Man, Joe Flacco might as well look at property in Miami right now.
Is he going to be the quarterback down in Miami?
They need a quarterback.
Well, they got Tannehill's there. He signed a good contract. I thought he was going to get traded. So he needs to. Joe Flacco would be good out in Denver.
How many quarterbacks is he going to experiment out there, John? So experiment out there again. How many quarterbacks is he going to say, "Oh man, whoever's next up"?
Well, he didn't get a chance with Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly was going to be named starter, and he went to jail.
I'm glad you brought up Denver. Case Keenum. You know, Alex Smith knows how to lose a game, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They've messed up their chemistry. Case Keenum, he's in Denver. Case Keenum in Minnesota, it's like magic. You know what I mean?
I don't get it.
Their seasons, you got a toilet bowl sound, flush them. Their season is done. I mean, their season is both of them, Denver and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Absolutely. Bears get back on the winning ways, 24-10, and one of those games against the Jets. CBS must be struggling because they had the Bears-Jets game as the lead game for Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. So I obviously did not watch it. I used my Fire Stick and was watching the Steelers and Browns games. So we'll get to that one here shortly.
Do you know any hardcore Dallas Cowboys fans? Brandon,
I know one.
You know one?
Yeah.
Would he say Tony? Would he or she? I don't want to call him out. Would he or she say Tony Romo's a Hall of Famer?
I don't know. He may. He's a big Tony Romo guy, though. So.
I don't think so. That's my opinion, but I digress.
I don't think he is. I mean, Romo's—he hasn't done enough. Normally, for you to do that, you have to win in playoff games to be a Hall of Famer, right? Not we're not Super Bowls, but you have to win.
I mean, I get it, right? Yeah,
majority.
Sometimes you lose you, but yeah, you have to win some playoff games. Correct. He's got the stats. Passing stats is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know. Table it. We'll come back to it. Just something to think about.
Yeah.
Cowboy.
Well, I just texted him, so I will let you know when I find out the answer from him. Speaking of saying the AFC North, we were just talking a little bit ago, Buccaneers and Bengals, 37-34 shootout. Cincinnati wins. Fitzmagic is back once again.
Rotation, yeah, back in rotation. Man, it's a wild ride. The quarterback situation in Tampa Bay, they're going to be looking for a quarterback. For sure, next year, either in free agency, either in from drafting one, whatever quarterback coming out this season. Man, Jameis Winston, has he started his last game with Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Absolutely. Has he started his last game? Has he started his last game in NFL? I don't think so.
No, I think he'll be a New York Giant next year.
Man.
They you
can
see it. They do.
I can see in Miami too, but yeah, they don't want that problem up there. Him and you try to turn the NFL to the NBA, Brandon.
Hey, we almost had it today.
You want that quarterback to throw to that wide receiver?
Yeah. Well. Maybe.
We'll think of everything. We'll see.
So I talked to my Dallas Cowboy fan, and I said, would you say Tony Romo is a Hall of Famer? His response was two words, no doubt.
Oh, man.
I got a no doubt.
Boy, dude, I just passed out. Who would he be?
I asked him, I said, can I have a reason, ? So I'm guessing he's typing that now as we speak.
Yeah, Google it.
as he's doing that, Fitzy Magic pulling through. He has been named the starter. But honestly, John, Fitz is probably going to be on a short lease himself this week, and you can see Jameis right back in there, you know?
Who's the third stringer?
I don't know who it is anymore. He used to be Ryan, like a Ryan Moore guy type of guy too, but so who knows there. Seahawks 28-14 winners over the Lions. I watched a little bit of this game. Russell Wilson, if they get the run game going, that opens him back up for passing and he'll get better. They've changed some few things up the last couple of weeks. It's gotten them better, but they're still the second team best in the NFC West. So,
okay, yeah, I thought they were going to blow them out. That did not happen.
I'm asking him right now. Sorry for this dead air.
Live. He should have called.
I should give him a call in. I'm
upset. He left Texas on the radio.
Yeah, I just sent him a thing to call in about it. As we're talking about that real quick, to see if he calls in. Tennessee Chiefs, 30-23 victory over the Broncos. Still a close game. Broncos played them close. Chiefs moved to 7-1 on the year. Rushing game, Kareem Hunt. Only had 50 yards rushing, but Sammy Watkins came out of nowhere. 172 touchdowns. Holmes, another 300-yard game, 4 touchdowns.
He's got to get the interceptions under control.
He's only got one.
Only one? Come on. How many,
I saw your tweet about him and the interceptions.
He's going to play an elite-level team. Like the Patriots, like the Steelers, And it's going to come at a critical point. And we're going to remember, oh, man, remember that game? He had four touchdowns and that one interception.
And that one interception ends up being a pick six to cost him.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
These quarterbacks, these old quarterbacks, I'm going to call them old, they still got magic left in them, man, because Aaron Rodgers, I thought he had a team of Destiny's number.
Yeah.
And, you know, but. No,
who's
man,
your MVP
I like
right now?
I like Mahomes. He's on a tear. He's tearing it up, man. But he's got to get this, he's got to get that interception. He's got to get it under control.
Who's your MVP right now? Is it Mahomes or is it Gurley?
Oh, wow. Well, it'd be Mahomes. It's still a quarterback's league.
You think?
There's been some other fantastic running backs. The kid from Kansas City is tearing it up.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. But Todd Gurley is just—he's doing very well in the league. I think he's leading categories. I think he's leading touchdown guy for it's either him or Alvin Kamara. I'm not sure which leading the way.
Just Mahomes.
You going with Mahomes on it? Okay. Looking at the games, let's see. Redskins and Giants, 20-13. Redskins, Giants fall 1-7. Still struggling as we speak. I don't know. I don't know where they go. It's a bye week for them now. So.
Do you bench? This is going to have Eli benches. Can he bench himself around week 12?
Who's going to play? Because the second string quarterback just got arrested for a DUI this morning.
Oh man, they'll find a quarterback.
Geno Smith.
Buffalo found Derek Anderson. You can find a quarterback.
Kaepernick, bring him to New York. Imagine how that would be.
Oh man, they'll get Tim Tebow for 4 weeks.
Tim Tebow.
Get him out of the mess, farm league.
If you can get him away from the college game day, he was pretty fired up.
That right, he does that too.
Steelers Browns. Steelers win 33-18. Browns for the another time, sixth time now after a second Steelers loss, or second Steelers game, they have fired their coach. They have also fired their offensive coordinator. John, we talked about this last week. And if he is saying everything with, I am doing this and I am doing that, this is my team, I am going to win, that spells trouble for the locker room. I talked about the issues with him wanting to take over the offense, and it sputtered once again this past weekend. And apparently there was a word out that he met with Jimmy Haslett in the morning, on Sunday morning, and wanted that vote of confidence, and they went out there, laid the egg against Pittsburgh, and they were both fired yesterday. So they turned to Bounty Gate, Greg Williams now as their head coach.
Yeah, it gets better. So, you know, here's what's probably going to happen. Or here's what needs to happen. If I had, you know, could write it out for him, Hugh should be glad he got fired. Okay? He should be glad he got fired. I don't know if he should ever get an NFL job. Somebody might give him one. I'm sure he's got friends. You know what I mean? But he should never. He should be glad he got fired. If they trust Greg Williams, you know what I mean, to coach the rest of this season, you know, go for it. But next year they need to go ahead and ask Urban Meyer to come on up. Cleveland. Yeah, I know you snicker. Urban Meyer. That's right.
It's probably going to be. I don't know. I was going to say
It might be the whiz kid, the offensive coordinator, no, the head coach from Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Could be. He didn't deny it when he had his press conference yesterday.
Right. It might be him, but it man, just go ahead and get. Like at this point is. Does he really want to stay at Ohio State?
No. Urban wants to retire already. Shoot, he's talking about here comes the Urban Meyer health issues again. He's got the cyst on his brain and all this. And
that's ownership. Paul Brown, you write me a check.
Write me a check.
I go from Athens to Cleveland.
Yeah, well, it was perfect timing for him to release that information just as the Browns were firing their head coach. So we'll see. Browns being Browns, Baker Mayfield going to have to find another coach, and we'll see what happens with the Brownies.
And that's unfortunate because that hurts his development. You know,
yeah.
It really does. It hurts his development. So.
Here's the thing: they're not that bad of a team. If you look at it, they're 2-5-1. They're
right.
Four of those games went to overtime, so they're very close to being at 4 wins or even 5 wins. You know.
Well, imagine when they get a confident team in there that wants to be. I'm talking about coaching staff that wants to be there, has a game plan, has a vision, and wants to actually win ball games.
Yeah.
Imagine what that's going to be like. Next year, not this year. This year's still going to be a mess.
I agree. We look, let's see, Cardinals, 18-15 win over the Niners. Christian Kirk with the touchdown catch with 20 seconds to go in that game from Josh Rosen, UCLA teammates. Win that game. I don't have anything left on that game. I like to go to the next one, though, the Rams and Packers. The team of destiny, as you like to call it. The Rams go to 8-0. A little controversy with Ty Montgomery and the Packers on the run out. And what happens? He ended up getting his ass shipped out to Baltimore today.
He felt it. He had the feeling that he can make a play. And I know the coach backed him and everybody said he did the right play, but he didn't do the right play. Should have knelt down and let Aaron Rodgers do his thing.
Exactly. You always let Aaron Rodgers do his thing there. Always. I don't know why you would ever go against that. We've got the Saints with a convincing victory at Minnesota, 30-20. Drew Brees doing Drew Brees things once again. Saints are sneaky 6-1.
Who's convinced? It's Minnesota. I just bashed them. Who's convinced? You're convinced.
No, I'm not. I'm convinced. Do you remember my Super Bowl pick from the beginning of the season?
Oh, they beat the team of destiny.
I know, but who did I say? I said Saints over Rams in the NFC Championship.
You did say this. But they ain't beating the team of destiny.
We'll see. The Rams just traded earlier today for another Dexter Fowler. Is it Dexter Fowler? I'm not sure. Maybe no, not Dexter Fowler. One of the Fowlers from the Texans traded for him, got him into the team. So Rams are showing up their defense. Todd Gurley's still doing his thing, and Sean McVay. I'm gonna go ahead and give it Coach of the Year. Go ahead and give it to him.
You gonna give it to him?
Yep. They're eight to go. I like the fact they don't go for a few extra points anymore. They just go for two every time. I like that.
He's out there playing NBA. He's out there playing NFL Madden, dude. It's crazy.
And the last game. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The last game of the week, the Patriots and the Bills. And the Patriots, who are 6-2, and folks, I know all you listeners that have been listening to Jonathan Birdsong saying the dynasty has fallen as soon as the season started and they got those two losses. They were 1-2. Now they've won 5 straight. I believe I'm the one that said they would right the ship and get it right back rolling again.
You got to understand, I'm a Colts fan at heart. So sometimes my fandom does come out from my mouth. So, and I did sometimes also forget that the AFC East is still, the AFC is just as weak. So, or it's forming. It's forming because the Jets have issues with teams that with keen defenses that can actually rush the quarterback. That's why you see him a seesaw up and down season with the Jets. That kid is good. That kid is a money. Once Tom Brady retires, I'm talking about the Jets quarterback. I can't name his case me right now.
Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold. Once Tom Brady retires, the AFC East will be theirs. So
yeah.
Yeah, the way it's going right now. But yeah, man, the Patriots are still kings of the AFC, and they gave the Buffalo Bills a nice little spanking, gentleman spanking.
Yeah, if you look at the schedule for this next week, Week 9. Once again, we get another crappy Thursday night game. Last week, we had the Dolphins and Texans. This week, we have the 1-6 Raiders and the 1-7 Niners this Thursday night. So I will not be watching this atrocious game.
Man, that used to be, and it's a shame, because that used to be a game that used to be highly rated, highly watched, because – you know, they were area teams battling over, you know, fan supremacy and everything else, right?
Uh-huh.
And like now, what is? I mean, it's not horrible. The 49ers and Raiders, it's not horrible. They're just again, 49ers lost the quarterback and the Raiders, you know, lost the rest of their team because they don't get along with the coach. So, just another – it's unfortunate because those teams do have a rich history in the NFL. And they have actually – it's actually – my point being is they actually used to have a rivalry for area rivalry. And, like, that – like, again, you said you're not going to even watch. Like, I doubt if I watch either. Who's the quarterback for the 49ers?
C.J. Bethea, I believe.
Yeah, he actually shows some spunk. But, yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, he might be there next year, but you know they'll be drafted. I mean, I don't know. Their money is in Garoppolo, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, my attention Thursday night. I will be at the Purdue men's basketball game. Their first exhibition game is Thursday night against Marion. So I'm gonna head up to West Lafayette, check out the Boilers' first game, and check in with our buddy, Mr. Brandon Brantley, as well, and kind of see how things are going up there in West Lafayette.
Right.
So, looking at the games next week, the 1 o'clock game, you got Steelers at Ravens. That'll be a big one. The Chiefs, they get an easy game. They go to the dog pound to take on these Browns that don't have a coach. So they should get an easy one there. One that could be sneaky good. The Detroit Lions 3-4 against your Minnesota Vikings at 4-3-1. Right there could help see who gets control of the NFC North.
Yeah.
You have the Texans and the Broncos. You've got the Rams and the Saints at a 4-25 game. That'll be a good one, a shootout down in New Orleans.
That's what we want to see.
And then your Sunday night game, Aaron Rodgers, one of the best against Tom Brady, the best, the GOAT, Packers-Patriots, Sunday night football.
Brad, something happened to my phone. I didn't hear what you said. Something happened.
That's it.
You don't have to repeat it, though. You don't have to repeat it, though, but something happened to my phone. Like,
oh. Because I called him the GOAT?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. You just don't want to acknowledge it. And then Monday Night Football, the Titans go down to take on Jerry's World. You know Stephen A. and Skip. They'll be cheering for their Cowboys down there. So they'll be taking on the Titans. Still, Colts got a week off. They got a week to regroup, get ready. And then next Sunday, they're at home against not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, they're at home against the Jaguars. So AFC South games, here they come, hot and heavy.
Right, hot and heavy. Very, and they should be, you know, get some more, build some more team continuity, heal up whatever nicks and bruises. Everybody's hurt at this point during the season. And pray on the fact that Jacksonville is dysfunctional. You know, those things aren't easily healed. You know, bones and things like that, you know, you put a bandage on or they shoot an IV up your rear or whatever. It'll give you a painkiller, you know. But, like, you know, locker room breakdown, that's not easily put back together. So, you know, use that to our advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. College football, what a crazy weekend within there. Now, listen, I will start out in saying this. I probably had the best week in college football gambling that I've had in a really long time. I went 9-2.
I got to stop blindly picking Ball State.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not talking about our picks. I'm not talking our picks. I'm talking against the spread and over unders and all that. I went 9-2, really, really well this weekend. So that looked good. There was a couple games that scared me. It all started with a little Friday night action or Thursday night action. Last Thursday, I took Georgia Southern against number 25 Appalachian State. I read a little nugget about Georgia Southern, and boy, they end up stomping them. They were getting plus 11 points. They beat them by 20. So it started out good there. Notre Dame, they end up rolling over Navy by 22. Georgia easily took care of the Florida Gators. Your boys, they finally came to life, the Texas Longhorns. 38-35 losers against Oklahoma State.
Here, hold on, take a time out. Here I actually took time out of my time.
Oh boy.
What I normally watch on, I took time out of my time. What I normally watch on television, which is usually between Gilligan's Island and Night Court, because I love old TV shows, right? So I took time to watch tape, a video, Texas, and they got a great rushing attack. Like they know how to run the ball. They got some great linebackers, and then they go out here. And well, I've had them losing anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But they go out here, they actually proved me correct. Inconsistent team.
Yeah.
Probably reading their press clippings, quite honestly. And if I'm reading,
and I don't know what I'm doing, because in our picks, I took Texas, but with my weekend spreads, I took Oklahoma State plus the 3. So I'm just going opposite of my picks. That's what we call doubling down in the era. Yeah, it's Texas just laid a freaking egg. They came back a little bit, but who doesn't want to see at the end a Tom Herman and Mike Gundy fight? Holy cow, that broke on the field.
Very uncomfortable situation.
Missouri and Kentucky SEC game. Kentucky wins at the buzzer, a walk-off touchdown pass, wins 15-14. That was one I lost on. Missouri, I had them minus the 7. Everything made it seem like Missouri was going to win that game, and they went out there and laid an egg with that. Washington State with the 41-38 win over Stanford. Two ranked teams there. You said Stanford's a fraud. Washington State, they're moving up to number 14 now. That's your highest Pac-12 team you've got, especially with Washington losing to Cal.
Pac-12 is out of the, you know, as we know, Pac-12 is out of the championship series. So they beat up on one another. They are good, they are still good dynamic teams that we'll get to see come bowl season, you know, but they're out of it. The top 14 is not to jump ahead. But the top 14, so I know we still probably need to talk about Purdue and a little bit disappointed that happened with them. But the top 14 teams in the country have to be. I mean, I'm not going to hate on Notre Dame this week. But the top 14 have to be Notre Dame, Alabama, not necessarily this order, but Notre Dame, Alabama, Clemson, and Notre Dame, Alabama, Clemson.
Well, I know who I put in there. Yeah.
Right now. I'm talking about right now. LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
One of them is going to be a knockout.
Well, I favor LSU. I technically favor LSU right now. I think Michigan. I don't want to be the Big Ten homer here, but Michigan will probably be in the top 4 next week.
Yes, I would say that. 100%. As long as they can take care of business.
This is crazy, Brandon. You ready? If LSU beats Alabama, is Alabama still out of the top 4?
Yes.
What?
They would go John, they would go to number 5. They would go to number 5 for a couple weeks, and then they would work their way back in.
I got you.
So you talk about Michigan. Well, Michigan's opponent next week, they play Penn State. Penn State survived at home against Iowa. Iowa threw a late interception as they were driving. because I had Iowa plus the 6.5. They end up losing by 6. So I won that bet, but I was hoping they were going to win it outright. Penn State just doesn't look right ever since that Ohio State game. And now they're going to go take on Michigan. So that should be a big, huge Big Ten matchup.
Yeah, they're a different team. And we shouldn't, you know what, we really shouldn't be shocked because Saquon Barkley's not there. He's in the NFL this year. So that's part,
yeah.
that's part of what we're missing.
Talk about another upset. Northwestern knocking off Wisconsin. Wisconsin loses another one. How about the Wildcats?
That should have been a lead-in, buddy.
Should have been.
I enjoy my Saturdays where I get to see an upset like the Northwestern. And they're building their resume to be upset. Now, here's the thing, Brandon. At some point, they're going to lose another Big Ten game because I'm pretty sure they played Michigan, I think. But
Wisconsin plays – give me a second while you're talking. I'll give you their schedule. Rutgers, Penn State, Purdue, Minnesota.
That's the rest of their Big Ten schedule.
Yes.
But don't they got another game?
No, they only got 4 games left.
Okay. There's no other more games. Okay.
Rutgers at Penn State, at Purdue, home against Minnesota.
That's a big game for them at Penn State.
Yeah.
And that also be a big game for them, for Penn State, because Penn State will be trying to, you know, wiggle their way back into the Big Ten, you know, conversation. So that would be a big game for them. If they can beat Penn State, that would be huge.
Penn State, they've got at Michigan this week, and then they're home against Wisconsin, and then they're at Rutgers and home against Maryland. So just 2 of the last 4 games for them.
Everybody can mark Rutgers up as a win.
Yeah, Rutgers are terrible. You kind of led with it a little bit ago, the Purdue Boilermakers, tough loss against Michigan State. Just couldn't put it all together in the game. Lose 23-13.
Had they played them at home, it would have been a different outcome. But a lot of times you can't take your emotions on the road with you.
Correct.
So
I agree with that. Your Indiana Hoosiers, they played on Friday night. They lost 38-31 to Minnesota. I took Minnesota plus the or minus the 5.5 points, so they covered that on Friday night. Hoosiers fall to 4-5, 1-5 in the Big Ten, and they've lost 5 straight.
Yeah, that's a disappointment because those are the teams that IU expected to beat this year with the team they assembled. And they were actually, you know, what's crazy is they're actually good enough. Like, there's nothing about IU that says, hey, they got the dominating wideouts. They got a dominating defense. Since week one, they played strategically good football. Now they kind of look like frauds because you can't even remember who they beat. Well, you can, but, you know, it seems like IU beat Virginia? IU beat, you know, you can scratch your head because now Virginia's like playing Warburg over ACC play. But that takes them out of bowl contention. Unless they somehow muster up and know they can and win out the rest of their games and Big Ten play, but that kind of takes them out of bowl contention.
Absolutely. Picks wise, this week we both went 4-3. I had Ohio, you had Ball State. I had Purdue, you had Michigan State. We both had Indiana. I had Penn State, you had Iowa. I had Texas, you had Oklahoma State, and we both had Georgia and Notre Dame. So we were both sitting at 40-19 on the year currently. So still sitting pretty. So the next game, set of games, we've got the first one this Saturday, number 16, Iowa, traveling to Purdue. I think the Boilermakers knock off another ranked team in this Iowa Hawkeye team.
No, I don't know. I just gave them big props about playing at home. But beating Ohio State and beating Iowa is two different animals, though. But I'm gonna go with Iowa.
Okay. Ooh. Sorry for those people in West Lafayette.
Sorry.
We'll get Jonathan Birdsong on that wagon one day, folks. We'll get him on there. Number four, Notre Dame, heading to Northwestern. Should be a really good game, I think. As long as Northwestern can play like they've been playing the last couple of weeks. It's going to be a close one, but I'm going to take the Irish.
It's going to be a close one. Is that Notre Dame? Is that South Bend?
It is at Northwestern.
Oh, man. Brandon, there's no way I'm going against the Wildcats. There's no way. There's no way. They go with the Golden Globers? No way. I got Northwestern.
You're going Northwestern.
In a close one. But I got
yep. Spread is 9.5. So Notre Dame by 9.5 is where the odds makers are putting it right now. Wow, you're saying the Golden Domers, this is where the upset happens.
This is where the upset happens.
We've got Georgia, number 6, against number 9, Kentucky. Big SEC matchup.
Who get ran over?
Who is? Kentucky?
Kentucky's going to get ran over.
Okay. Interesting there. West Virginia, number 12, against number 17, Texas. Texas fell all the way to number 17 after their loss.
The committee didn't believe them in either. That is going to be like a game that is in the 50s and 40s with their score.
Yes, it will be.
I like West Virginia.
That's what I got. I'll take West Virginia on the road as well. Penn State at Michigan. I'm going to take – I think we're both going to take the Wolverines. We were talking about that one already.
Jim Harbaugh building up a just in case I don't beat Ohio State resume. and unfortunately, Penn State's on it this weekend. So, yes, Michigan is going to win.
Tomorrow night, trick or treat game, Ball State at Toledo. I'm going to. I went against Ball State last week.
I'm taking Ball State. What's Toledo got?
They're 4-4. I don't know. I'm going to take Ball State as with you.
I don't think Toledo could get a Ben Davis recruit to come on their campus.
And then, John, I know this Saturday night you should not have much on your calendar. You should be move the reruns from all your old school TV shows. Night Court's going to have to wait another night because we have the big one. Saturday evening, 8 o'clock on CBS, number 1, Alabama, 8-0, traveling to number 4, LSU, 7-1.
Man, they have a lot of pageantry when these two teams play one another. And I usually just kind of get lost in the colors of the crowd, like how everybody's decked out in either crimson or how everybody's decked out. This weekend, it's going to be decked out probably purple and gold. A lot of passion. Comes from from this particular football rivalry. LSU is back. You know what I'm saying? Their team is back. They're still a little inconsistent, right? You know what I mean? With that being said, and man, I got Alabama winning because they're the better team.
I was gonna take Alabama.
Gonna be close.
I will go the opposite route. I will go LSU to win this one.
Uh-oh. What?
Give me Coach O. Now, I will say this as well. This is the largest spread for a game between numbers 1 and 4 in college football history. Or 1 and 3, excuse me, in college football history. Right now, it's Alabama by 14.5. I think that right there pisses off Coach O to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. So, Brandon, if Alabama loses, who's the number 1 team in the nation?
Clemson. Well, no, LSU.
They're going to jump to 1.
They would jump Clemson. They would jump number 1. If you can knock off an undefeated team and you're ranked already at number 3, absolutely. I think you jump Clemson. It may not last. They could have a letdown the following week. Who knows?
gonna win all their rest of their games. They can moonwalk into the championship game.
But speaking of such, they as we were doing our show, I was keeping track. They were giving the very first college football playoffs poll. The first poll was out tonight for the college football playoff. Some notable teams, as I was jotting down, Texas, who was number 6, they fell all the way down to number 17 currently. UCF, your don't get any respect, UCF Golden Knights, they are ranked 12th currently in the first poll for the college football playoff. The Buckeyes of Ohio State are in at number 10. Kentucky Wildcats are number 9. So Ohio State at 10 and Kentucky at number 9. So very interesting. The reason why I wanted to say those matchups is because there are some huge implications this weekend with those games as well. Because if you look at number six is the Georgia Bulldogs. The Georgia Bulldogs, they're going to be taking on number 9 Kentucky. So 6 and 9 in the college football playoff will be playing each other this weekend. And I'm going to go ahead. Have you seen the results yet, what they've posted?
I have not.
Okay. I'll go in order then from top to bottom for these top 5 teams. Number 1, obviously, was Alabama. No questions there. Number 2 was the Clemson Tigers. Number 3 was the LSU Tigers. Number 4 was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And number 5 are Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines at number 5. So, thoughts on that?
You know, I'm trying to think how my UCF Knights can get into the top 5. They can't. Everybody has to lose.
I don't see it. Yeah.
Everybody had to lose one. Notre Dame would have to lose, and everything. And Michigan would have to lose another game as well.
Right now, your matchups.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Right now, your matchups are Alabama and Notre Dame on one side of the bracket and Clemson and LSU. Now, obviously, we know this is going to change next week because Alabama and LSU play this week. So,
can Oklahoma get in?
Yes.
Can they get back into the mix? Because their quarterback, that's who you want to see play.
Kyler Murray.
Alabama, that's who you want to see play.
Yeah. Oklahoma's got a shot. They're at number 7.
They're not going to win out, though. They're going to lose another game.
Your first Pac-12 team, Washington State, are sitting at number 8. So I don't think Oklahoma's got the schedule to get up there into that top 4 or even the top 5, I would think.
Why is the committee showing the Pac-12 love like they're going to let them play in a championship series?
Well, they're sitting at 7-1 right now, so, I mean, you got to give them some respect.
Washington State couldn't beat UCF.
Ooh. Ooh. I don't think I'm not impressed with UCF.
They're going to win out.
Yeah. They have that easy schedule.
They'll get another test. The championship committee like to do cookie things at the end of the season when little schools like UCF or even Ball State, for that matter, for 100 years ago, shout out to Nate Davis, right? Or even Boise State, that team, when little schools go undefeated, they always give you a big school that you think, ha ha ha, they're not going to be able to beat them. And then sometimes, more often than not, correct, the big school does gobble up the little school, but oftentimes the little school does win. So I always root for the little guy. So it'd be great to see if UCF of course they can't get in the top 4. They can't get in the top 6, right? But it'd be interesting to see once all these things fall out and play in December if they get to play like a Michigan or even Ohio State if they have a 2-loss Ohio State team.
One final nugget that I want to put in your ear with the Purdue talk. Jeff Brohm. So we already know he played at Louisville. He's from there in that area. He turned down offers last year to go to Tennessee, some others. Keep an eye out because things are going south pretty quickly in Louisville right now with Bobby Petrino. And I could see definitely the Boilermakers losing Jeff Brohm possibly to Louisville. Jeff still has a house down in Louisville, and I can 100% see him taking a job down there to be closer to his family. That's where he played at. So that's a nugget.
Didn't he already have this specter of, like, was he staying short term already? Last year, I thought.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, but he said he loves it at Purdue and all this, but I just don't see it. Yes, now Bobby Petrino has a very large contract that they would have to get rid of. But here's another nugget I found today. Louisville has already raised $14 million from their alumni association for either a buyout or for a new coach.
Who runs Louisville? Who's in the Louisville's alumni association? The mob?
I don't know, but $14 million.
I know they had to do some type of litigation buyout and whatnot with Patino, and now they're getting ready to buy
out
the daggone football coach too.
Hey, they're using all their Kentucky Derby winnings apparently.
Apparently.
So just something to watch. I hope Purdue doesn't lose them, but if it would lose them to a team, it would be Louisville. So just something to keep an eye on.
Well,
there.
That's a lateral move, though. Lateral.
Yeah, but it'd be his dream job. That's his dream job.
Yeah, okay.
So more to come on that. Real quick, NBA, kind of a recap there. Pacers sitting at 4-3. Tough one last night, John. Very tough to watch. The bench just did not show up last night one bit. Free throw shooting is still terrible this year.
The team that got out rebounded last night, pretty bad.
Yeah, really bad. Are you nervous on the Tyreke Evans situation yet?
Yeah, because the Pacers went to the extent to suspend him. I don't know. And he actually came out and said, that the Pacers is actually one of the more he actually said this. He said the Pacers is the most professional organization that he's ever played for. And he was also, and this is a guy that played for professional organizations. Brandon, he's played for the New Orleans Pelicans. He's played for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's played for Cal Power. So he knows.
And took money.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm alluding to. He's played for Cal. No, but in all seriousness, he's played for, NBA level professional organizations and Sacramento Kings, right? And he said the Pacers, that's great. The Pacers fans should pat themselves on the back knowing that you have, there's nobody, like, comparatively, there's nobody goofy or emotionally irresponsible to be the general manager or ownership, a la in Cleveland. Yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers might have a championship, but it had nothing to do with the ownership. And it seemingly didn't, and granted, it didn't have anything to do with their general manager. It had everything to do with LeBron James, because firing Ty Lue over 0-6 start, like, you knew either you're gonna bring him back. Why keep him on the hook all summer? That's a head scratch.
Right.
So comparably, like what I'm saying, a more, even though I know somebody can say, well, EDS never won a title, but, we don't have those harebrained – Cleveland will never win one ever again unless LeBron James goes back, which we know that's not going to happen. Right?
Or a son goes there.
Right. Right. Or a son goes there. But that's not going to ever happen because they don't know what they're doing. The Patriots know what they're doing. They brought in this guy. They thought he had shown some signs of maturity, because you have to think about it. He's very talented. We know he was like top three. He was number two overall, I think.
Yeah.
In draft class. And we know he's talented, but he's traveled around. So that baggage, I haven't read his scouting report or like why hasn't it worked in Sacramento, why hadn't it worked in New Orleans, why hadn't it worked in Memphis, but like you have to, those are somewhat red flags. Like, kid's super talented, but why hasn't it worked? You know what I'm saying? He can come back and say that the Pacers and Pacers, and I think it's dead on. The Pacers is a mature and great organization to work for. So either, to get to the point, Jonathan, right? Either you need to follow suit to follow in suit. I'm talking about player. You need to follow in suit with what's going on here. This team is trying to win, and, you know, if you, you know, that's it. We don't want nobody showing up late. This is not that. Like, I'm sure everybody has time off after practice, and I know they don't practice every day. There's not a game every day. So whatever you need to do in your personal life, get it done. And if you had to be at practice at 6:30 and, you know, late, who knows, Brandon? I've never been at an NBA practice, right? But if practice starts at 6:30 and maybe Nate says, hey, if you get here at 6:35, you're still golden, and you show up at 7:30, dude, like, they're running an organization where they're paying guys millions of dollars to play a game. Just keep in mind, to play a game, but we're also here to entertain and win. And that's what the Pacers are about. And if you can't, and everybody in that locker room is on that beat.
Uh-huh.
But evidently, player was not on that beat. So they had to show, in order to keep everything the way the Pacers like to class organization, like you said, we had to suspend you. Because we cannot have, you know what I'm saying, we cannot have you being putting yourself above the team. Everybody's supposed to be in practice at a certain time. You can't be late. So
yeah. I agree. You got to make sure you show up on time. I remember those early mornings back at this place we both used to work. You got to show up on time for them to open that door for you.
Right.
So the Milwaukee Bucks sitting at 7-0 right now, best team in the Eastern Conference. No Giannis last night. They took on the Raptors, who had no Kawhi, so it wasn't that good of a game to watch. But Bucks 7-0 right now. If you look at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Lakers at 2-5. They've lost a few tough ones. You've got Houston at 1-4. You've got the Oklahoma City Thunder at 1-4. Still early in the season, but I don't know.
I see a bunch of overreaction. Either through my Facebook feed, either through my Twitter feed. I see a bunch of overreaction. I'd like to bring everybody back down to earth. I'm like, dude, technically the season doesn't even start till tomorrow. For the last 50 years, the NBA season has started like around after Halloween. But with all that being said, they have been playing real life games. The Pacers are 4-3. The Lakers are 2-5. Milwaukee is 7-0. And you know, sustaining that is a different thing. Everybody plays an 82 game. Edit your game circuit. So Milwaukee will – things will come back down. Give it another month or so. Back-to-backs will come into play. Guys will get dinged up. Guys will get injured. You know, that sort of thing will come into play. And the tough thing about – so you said to tell you that they have – the Lakers have been losing, like, real close, tough ones. I don't know. When I look at their box score and I actually look at some of the highlights, man, they still struggle from the outside. Trying to find an outside shooter. And the biggest struggle for outside shooting is Lonzo Ball. I think he struggles because he's a guy and ultimately I think the Lakers will figure out their winning ways. I think they will. But from an individual standpoint, Lonzo Ball is a player that's used to having the ball in his hand, and now you're playing with two other guys who are used to having the ball in their hand. So between LeBron and Rajon Rondo, and I know Rondo and Lonzo don't play at the same time, but a variation of the lineup has Lonzo playing with LeBron, and we all know LeBron is ball dominant. So a little bit of struggle. I mean, I'm paying for the Lakers, but I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you who is not struggling from the outside shooting, and that is Klay Thompson. Boy. How about that performance?
And put Fred Hoiberg back. Yeah, well, he is already on fire. We got him on a fire watch, right?
Uh huh. Yeah, he's on the our watch list.
Yeah, Klay Thompson basically breaks his own teammates' single game regular season record of shooting threes, and I don't know. It's kind of tough, but like you know. Brandon, what did they do? What's the expect? What was the Bulls' expectation going into the season
for the Warriors?
No, I'm sorry, the Bulls. I said, what is their expectation? That game was so lopsided.
It was 92-50-some at halftime when I sent a text to my buddy. I said, is this a box score right now?
Man, they got totally athletes in action. It's like IU playing athletes in action or the Globetrotters.
Yeah. Your boy, Kyrie Irving, he shaved off his fro, and he just put Reggie Jackson through the spin cycle in Boston tonight. Took him straight to the hole. He shaved the head off, hair off, and everything.
Well, you gotta
tell me this. This will get you fired up. It always ends up every time I talk about this. Kobe Bryant. Would you think Kobe would entertain a comeback with LeBron?
No, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have it in the knees.
He hinted about it. He hinted. He says the Lakers started out 0-5 and may have to consider. But they won, obviously. So
he can't. Kobe could probably play some good half-court basketball, but going up down the court would be a struggle. And it'd be a struggle for him to watch him not be able to defensively do some of the things he used to could do.
Yeah. Last few things NBA-wise, you talk about we have our watch list for coaches getting fired. I think we had Tyronn Lue on that list. We had Fred Hoiberg on that list. Name to look at, he wants to come back and coach. This is 22 days after he said he is retired and done coaching basketball. Rick Pitino comes out and says that he's ready to coach the NBA again next year. Just stay home.
Ben,
we don't.
He must carry a flask with him everywhere he goes. He wants to coach in the NBA?
Again, yeah.
How much money does he need? Dude, he has had, man, he's wild. God bless him.
He mentioned he wanted to do it, so we'll see what happens there. Halloween, are you going out trick-or-treating?
No, I'll probably pass out some candy.
Okay. Well, I will be passing out candy here at the house. Also, I'll have the Pacers and Knicks game on the TV from Madison Square Garden. That'll be a good one.
There should be
Pacers
a good win.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll win unless Tim Hardaway has 39-40 points. If he has 38-40 points, we will lose.
Yeah, he ain't that capable. Not, but he's capable of 29.
Yeah. Last few nuggets. Red Sox won the World Series very easily. Never felt like it was really out of their hands going to the Dodgers. I think we both end up calling the Red Sox to win that one when we talked. One 4-star recruit, Malik Hill. This Thursday, Purdue fans be watching. He'll be announcing where he'll be going to school. Either Purdue, Michigan State, or Oregon are the finalists for this Bel Air, Kansas recruit who's a 4-star athlete. So it'll be interesting to see that. And this Thursday, Purdue and IU men's basketball both have their exhibition openers. IU takes on University of Southern Indiana, USI, one of my old stomping grounds,
okay,
down at Bloomington. And Purdue actually takes on Marion University on Thursday. So college basketball prepping. And then next Tuesday, the actual season starts. The very first games are going to be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You've got Duke and Kentucky. And then you have Kansas and Michigan State. And those will be at Bankers Life next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock on ESPN. And that will start the college basketball season. I will plan on being at the Purdue game if I can't end up getting inside for the Duke and Kentucky game. So that is my goal. So college basketball is here.
It's here. I'm pumped, man. I can't wait. I'm actually want to see Romeo Langford.
Yeah. He was noted in the preseason All-Americans. I think it was third team, I believe, that came out today through ESPN. He did make the list. Carson Edwards was a first team All-American. So interesting. It should be a great year for hoops for the state of Indiana, whether it be Purdue, Notre Dame, Ball State, Butler, You know, IU, they should all do very well this year. Even possibly Evansville. Walter McCarty now is down there. The old Boston Celtic, he's down there coaching in Evansville now.
Yeah, he's running the show down there.
So, all right, John, anything else from you?
Everything's good with me, man. I just want to take time out, man. You never know. Did we talk about Roman Reigns last week?
We talked a little about it right at the end, not much.
Okay, man, I just say, man. We both know it's made up, pretend, predictable sports entertainment. But you know those guys put this out. But those guys put this. I can't stop them enough. That's why I want to talk about it again. So, but not man. Everybody keep Roman Reigns in your thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very hard to see that happen last week. And, you know, I know they all say the show must go on and everything. And it was actually an action-packed Raw last week with the turn between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins at the end of the night after they won the tag titles. So seeing that storyline go, the WWE had their first women's pay-per-view this past Sunday night. I watched a few matches of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I thought the pay-per-view went very well overall. I think it was pretty well received as well from everybody. So props to them. So they go from all the happiness of the women's pay-per-view to now people's all complaining about going to Saudi Arabia for Friday's show.
Friday in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's a 12 o'clock show.
Yeah, I think there's probably one match that I actually want to see. I'm not watching it, but I actually want to see the Ronda Rousey Becky Lynch match.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a Survivor Series.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm jumping ahead. You're right.
Yeah, because the women aren't allowed to go to Saudi Arabia, which that's another reason why I think Vince decided to give them the women's pay-per-view. So some people are saying it was one of the reasons why he did a women's pay-per-view. They're still, I just turned on SmackDown, they are still advertising the AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan match, which Bryan has already said he's not going. So I don't know how the storyline is going to go this evening. But Daniel Bryan is not going to Saudi Arabia. His beliefs are against it, just like John Cena's. That's why John Cena was pulled from that tournament. So we'll see. Now you do have your championship match.
It's I guess who's the champ, Brock? They're going to put Tyler back on Brock.
I think it'd be Braun.
For like how many days?
WrestleMania.
Oh, wow. I couldn't see. Well, I'm tired of seeing Brock Lesnar.
Well, he's been gone for a while. Now he's back.
Well, again, I'm tired of the specter of him being around. Like, you know,
right.
You don't watch fake wrestling. You don't watch sports entertainment. I don't want to call it fake wrestling. But if you watch sports entertainment, you want to see the champ. 100 years ago, Brandon, before your time, right, the people used to give Hulk Hogan horrible, I'm talking about when he was in his WWF career, because he would take time off, vacation, do movies, come back, but he didn't have a regular schedule like an everyday wrestler. Brock Lesnar doesn't show, he's done a couple Raws here and there now. But he doesn't do everyday Raw. He definitely doesn't do everyday, you know, like regular
television. Turn on SmackDown right now. Because apparently they're having the Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles title match tonight. Since he's not going to Saudi Arabia, they're getting ready to start it now.
Well, there you go, folks.
So they're going to move the title match a little early.
They're in turmoil as well.
Yeah, I can't believe they're having the match tonight. Well, they actually talked about filming it in an empty arena too. That way they could air it on the pay-per-view. That would have pissed off a lot of people.
Oh, wow. I think TNA did that 100 years ago too.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. This will bring back, you talking about memories. I watched an old school match pay-per-view today. 1996 Halloween Havoc. The main event was
Lex Luger versus Road Warriors.
No, this one was Hogan versus Macho Man. Hogan had the short hair buzz cut from his movie. Ultimate Commando or something, whatever that was.
Who was the face? Hulk Hogan was the clearly the heel.
Yes, he was the NWO heel.
Okay, this is past. This is not. This is when the Dungeon of Doom was gone.
Correct.
I liked okay.
So, but I watched old school Halloween Havoc today, so it was kind of good to kind of go back and relive some of those old matches.
Was it hard
from...
to watch? Like, that's probably like slow motion compared to like what the guys do now when they hit ropes.
Yeah, it was. You know, the Hulk Hogan, you know, when they're doing the crisscross, when they're going through the ropes.
Yeah.
So
guys back then talk better and they sell better. Guys now, yep. They perform better. Guys now perform better. We know this. They can do, I mean, what can Kofi Kingston can't do? You know what I'm saying? When I think about his skill set. As far as like a sports entertainer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like he can't talk worth the crap. And that's, you know what
yeah.
I mean? But yeah, sometimes I watch old wrestling tapes like that too, and I'd be like, oh my God, Sid Vicious was so stiff. A lot of guys back then were stiff. You know what I mean?
You know, one thing I don't like now, you talk about, I don't like the fact that they don't sell the finishing moves as much as they used to. Now you have 6 or 7 attitude adjustments, and Brock Lesnar kicks out of all of them. You've got AJ Styles does his finisher 4 times, and Jinder Mahal kicks out of it. Or an RKO, 3 RKOs, people kick out of it. I don't think they're selling them enough.
There's a list, right? Chris Jericho, give me. There's a list of things that's wrong with professional wrestling, and you're right. That's one of them. But they don't allow them to do their own creativity either. So a lot of things are kind of just force fed to them. Do this, go out here, take your bumps, go out here, make your sports entertain, and then come on back, pull the curtain. That's what they. That's what they're kind of told to do. So,
yep.
There's no
absolutely.
No more guys on the fly no more.
I got two, to finish up real quick, I got 2 Halloween movies for you. 2 more I like to add to the list that you like, good ones to watch. Nothing's ever going to beat the old Exorcist, the original Exorcist movie. Great movie.
Absolutely.
And the other one I really liked was 13 Ghosts. That was another one I liked.
13 Ghosts? That's the one on the, is that the house or the ship?
That is the house.
Okay.
So, make sure you get to see your Halloween movies. I know you're a big horror movie guy, so.
Yeah, me and the kid, you know, the finger file through Netflix, watch the little random Netflix horror movies. They got some good ones.
Yeah, there's one of them on there that's new that I need to watch. I can't think of the name of it. The House on Haunted Hill, or there was something.
Yeah, me and her, I watched one called The Boy. It was creepy.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right, John. Well, we'll be back at it again next week. You enjoy your Halloween, and we'll go back at it next week.
All right, man. Good talking with you. Everybody have a good night.
See you, buddy. Peace. All right. That was Jonathan Birdsong joining us once again. Thank you, John. Hope you have a happy Halloween. We're going to go to a quick ad real quick, and then we will finish up for the night. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right, guys, welcome back to Crossroads Sports Radio, presented by Blog Talk Radio. Last few things, I will be having out later on this week an article for my picks for college football weekend coming up. Last weekend we did pretty well. I'll have my picks posted this coming up Thursday or Friday. So until then, be looking for that. Be checking our Facebook page. Be checking our Twitter accounts. Please interact and subscribe to our iTunes, these podcasts that will be up there. Like, subscribe, and share. Please promote it out. I will be this Thursday night at Purdue for the Purdue men's basketball game against Marion. So we'll be reporting from there on Thursday night. So we're going to have another action week of sports. Huge weekend in college football this week. Statement Saturday. So that'll be a lot to talk about next week. So you guys have a safe, happy Halloween, and we'll see you guys again next Tuesday night. Take care.
Crossroads Sports.